Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, April 16th. Today, we've got an update for you about a fatal crash on the M25 and some statistics about how many children in Kent and Medway have been accepted into their first choice of primary school. But first, a Chatham man who tried to set fire to a police station has appeared in court. The would-be arsonist had gone into the Gillingham station in November last year, armed with a jar filled with flammable fluid. Lauren's been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. Lauren, what happened after the suspect entered the police station?
Well, Edward Midgley walked in just after 5 p.m. A court has heard how he then poured the accelerant over the front counter before lighting a piece of material with a cigarette lighter. He's said to have calmly told staff, "You guys better get out as it's going up." He then placed his arms through an opening in the screen separating the office from the public area and then threw the burning rag at staff before telling them, "You need to get out, it's going to burn."
Has he given any reason for carrying out the attack?
Well, Midgley, who lives in the High Street, described the incident as a blur, saying he had no idea why he had gone to the station. He added his father had given him a jar filled with paint thinner and a rag that same day to make a fire in the woods, something he would regularly do. He then spent a few hours in a nearby alleyway with a box of beer before heading to the police station because he thought officers would be looking for him.
And what's the outcome of the trial?
The court heard the 35-year-old had a history of alcohol dependence and had been to prison a number of times before. He had 23 previous convictions for 63 offences, including numerous for violence. While no one was seriously injured in the attack, employees who were there at the time have read impact statements about how it's left them feeling apprehensive at work, with some saying they've considered leaving the force. Although now sober and having written a letter to the court expressing his remorse, the judge says she could not ignore the chaos Midgley had caused. He's been sentenced to 3.5 years behind bars.
Thanks, Lauren.
Kent Online News.
Two men have been jailed for a total of 7.5 years for a sex attack on a teenager in Cranbrook. A court heard how the victim was dragged from a car when it happened in a remote location in August 2018. Frank Smith from Pluckley Road in Bethesden and Leonard Wilson from Plurinden Road in High Hulstow were 17 and 18 at the time. They also threatened the girl and her family not to report it. Two teenagers have been arrested over a fatal crash on the M25. Kent police chased a vehicle through the Dartford crossing on Sunday night. It was later involved in a collision with a motorcycle. The suspects, who were from Essex, remain in custody. Police have referred themselves to the watchdog. Police are searching for a young boy missing from Maidstone. 12-year-old Bailey Grigg was last seen in the Millennium Park area just after 11 yesterday morning. At the time, he was wearing grey trousers and a black puffer jacket. You can see his picture at Kent Online. Firefighters have been called to a house near Maidstone after an air fryer was left on top of a hob and caught alight. A couple and their 5 children were in bed when it happened on Sunday night. They managed to get out unhurt after hearing smoke alarms and crews cleared the building of smoke. A man accused of killing a cyclist in a crash in Ramsgate is due to go on trial next year. A 54-year-old woman died after the bike she was riding was involved in a collision with a car on Dumpton Park Drive in January 2022. Carl Brownlee, who's 44 and from Botany Road in Broadstairs, denies causing death by careless driving. Several cars have been damaged and properties evacuated following a landslide in Gravesend. Emergency crews were called to the Imperial Business Estate after part of the cliff at Pier Road collapsed. It comes just a year after the nearby A226 Galley Hill Road in Swanscombe collapsed. The road there remains closed. £200,000 in cash has been seized after being found in a vehicle at the port of Dover. A 48-year-old Albanian national was arrested, while 2 other men and a 17-year-old boy were detained at an address in London. They're suspected of being involved in an organised crime group specialising in smuggling criminal cash. 3 people have been arrested during a police crackdown on shoplifting in Canterbury. Among those charged was a 36-year-old man who's accused of stealing a joint of meat and champagne worth £75 from the M&S near Sturry Road. Plainclothed and uniformed officers also carried out 12 stop and searches, one of which resulted in the seizure of cannabis. A Medway MP says footage will be sent to police after people were filmed pelting his constituency office with eggs. It was caught caught on CCTV at Raymond Chisty's base on Canterbury Street. It's understood to have happened in the early hours of Sunday morning.
Kent Online News.
Dozens of volunteers have been clearing tons of litter from a Kent beach plagued by waste that washes up from an illegal dumping site. They've been targeting the Minster Lees area, which has been affected by the rubbish in nearby East Church. Belinda Lamb is from the Medway Swale Estuary Partnership and organises the litter pickers.
So there's loads of shredded carpet, Christmas trees, fake grass and building waste. So builder's shoes, builder's hats, hard bits of plastic that look like paint trays or bits of mastic guns. It's all completely industrial waste, no household waste at all. I think everybody that lives here is passionate about keeping their beaches clean, and I feel now that we've got a sign on the beach, people that walk by see that and then they just turn up, so it's a great way to advertise. We used to get between 10 and 20 and now we're sort of 50 plus each month. I think if everybody could litter pick, not just the beach but where they live, because that all ends up here, you know, down storm drains, blowing into rivers. This is the end location, the beach, so anything that anybody could do. Also think people really need to think about their plastic usage, and it's not about recycling, it is about reducing plastic, maybe putting pressure on manufacturers and government that we need to stop this use of plastic in throwaway items, you know, the confectionery, the food and all of those products. There's just so much plastic. And I've been collecting Smarty lids for the past 4 years, and they're immaculate, and they stopped making those in 2005. So it just gives you the plight of plastic is here forever unless we pick it up.
The Environment Agency blocked access to the site on 3rd Avenue last June, and there's a court order prohibiting anyone from depositing waste. There are calls for the government to officially pull the plug on plans for a theme park in North Kent. London Resort on Swanscombe Peninsula was first proposed in 2012 and had been due to open this year. Earlier this month, the chairman of the group behind it stood down. The Dartford MPs said the uncertainty it put on the local area is unacceptable. Thousands of parents across Kent will find out today which primary school their child will be going to in September. Data seen by the Kent Online podcast shows 9 in 10 across the county and Medway have been given their first choice. Graham Jones is from Whitehead Monkton Solicitors in Maidstone. He's been speaking to Lauren about the next steps for parents.
It's the first school experience for most children, and it is an important decision to make, but schools only have limited capacity because of the way we're set up. You can choose whichever school you like, subject to complying with their admission criteria. And that means the schools that are known as the popular ones do get oversubscribed very quickly. Now, so what do you do if you don't get your first choice? A couple of things. Go on the waiting list for the school you wanted to go to. You must get added to the waiting list by the 30th of April, because there's a lot of change. Sometimes offers aren't accepted and they can sort of move offers round. Next thing to do is to visit the school you have been offered. Look at its Ofsted report, go and meet the head teacher, go and meet the class teachers, see what the school's like. The problem we have is there's parental choice about where you want your child to go. And what therefore happens is the schools that on Mumsnet are known as the best schools get oversubscribed. And there is a problem with oversubscription at primary level, because at secondary level, a school can be forced to take children. That can't happen at primary level. At Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2, maximum class size is 30, and they can't put children above that unless there's been some form of procedural irregularity on the allocation. So the admission was unlawful, it wasn't considered impartial, or it was an unreasonable refusal. Now, they're very difficult arguments to run. You can't just say, well, this is the school we want because we have a sibling there, blah, 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 blah. So yes, visit the school, go on the waiting list, and then, if necessary, lodge an appeal. The vast majority of parents will get their first choice, and nearly everybody will get one of their choices. What often happens if you don't get any of your choices is because you possibly didn't put three schools down, and in those circumstances, the local authority will give you a place at the the school nearest to where you live that has a space open.
More than 16,500 applications were made. The man who spent almost a year as a council leader in Canterbury has been explaining why he scrapped a plan to divide the city into different traffic zones. The previous Conservative administration had suggested it was a way of tackling congestion, but it was immediately ruled out when they lost the election last year to the Labor-Lib Dem coalition. Alan Baldock has been speaking to local Democracy reporter Dan Essen on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
I think with any policy, you have to be realistic and you need the public to buy into a local plan. You can't impose a local plan without local consent for it. And this was never going to get local consent. And so what's the point of it being there? You know, and also we believe passionately that, and I think most people, if they're honest with themselves, believe that you can't build your way out of a road crisis. You know, we need to change the way that we operate as an area, Canterbury. There is no road space. We couldn't build enough road space. So we need to change the way we work. And this is the perfect opportunity to move forward with what we call in the bus first policy of active travel and buses and so on and so forth. Being the lead. And that's what the difference is. That's why we can get rid of the zoning model, move towards a different model. And that underpins this new local plan, which everyone knew we were heading towards.
Mm. So you think it's important that, at least in Canterbury, that public transport is the focus of sort of local transport planning rather than essentially private cars?
It must be. We need to make that front centre of what we do.
They've come up with an alternative proposal to boost the use of public transport.
Kent Online News.
It's thought a long-awaited relief road in Thanet could be completed by the end of 2028. Plans for the £60 million project are due to be submitted later this year. The six-mile stretch between the A28 and Manston Road will bypass Birchington, Westgate and Garlinge. The owners of a rock bar in Dover say they could welcome customers by the middle of the summer after being granted a licence. The Dracula Parrot is set to open on Snargate Street. The next step is to get permission to convert a former shop. There are plans to turn a bandstand on the Kent Coast into an outdoor theatre with a food court. The idea is to have a cafe, bar and food and drink stalls at the Oval Bandstand and Amphitheatre in Cliftonville. The people behind it say they've been inspired by the regeneration of Folkestone's Harbour Arm. Speed limits are going to be enforced in the sea this summer in a bid to slow down jet ski riders. There'll be an 8-knot limit in Queenborough Harbour and a 6-knot limit near Hoo. The Swale Personal Watercraft Partnership will also be out to warn beachgoers against dangerous jet ski use across the borough. Now, Kent's newest food warehouse is welcoming its first customers today. The site, owned by supermarket giant Iceland, opened in Ashford Retail Park in the former Argos store, which closed in 2022, creating 30 new jobs. The shop will be the sixth of its kind in the county. David Wilson is the area manager and has been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons.
I've been the area manager on this area previously, and I went away and worked in London for a while. And even back then, when Ashford started expanding, we were looking for a food warehouse, and it was just finding a site that was in the right location. Obviously, there were specifics about how big it had to be, and those units aren't always up for grabs. And this one, we'd been looking for quite some time, and this one kind of landed in our laps. So since I first had this area, we've opened one in Dover, and we've opened a site in Thanet, and this was one that was always been on the cards, that we wanted to have a site for a food warehouse in Ashford, especially because Ashford over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, I think it's just massively grown in sort of every direction. And we really felt there was an opportunity to kind of maintain our high street store and then grow the business with this out of town proposition as well.
Yeah, so some people have wondered whether the high street location is at risk because of this site opening, but you can confirm that that's definitely not the case, and the two work hand in hand.
So we currently have sort of getting on for 1,000 shops, and by far the majority of those are high street shops, and they're a really, really important part of the business. This is about serving a different customer, really. So the example I'd give is we opened the site in Thanet in Westwood Cross, but we've still got Ramsgate, Margate and Broadstairs trading, so and that's been open for several years now. Essentially, if stores are taking money and our customers want to visit those stores and keep them open, then we will keep them open. So it's really just a case of maintaining sites that are needed and wanted by our customers. And I think Ashford High Street has a very different purpose to the store that we're opening now. And potentially serves a different need for those customers as well.
Yeah, so what are just a few of the differences that customers can expect in this store compared to a high street store?
So I think what's happened over the years is as customers have changed the way they shop, sometimes the sites that we've had in the high streets don't feel as tailor-made for the purpose we want them to. So more and more products get added into stores, yet that just means that we're squeezing more and more into a small shop. What these stores give us the flexibility to do is to massively increase the product range. So you're still going to get all of those basic Iceland products, but what we tend to do is bring in a second tier of offerings, which is much bigger value packs as well. So you'll see a lot more in terms of big value packs. Also, some of the deals that we'll offer will be about buying multiples of a product. So for example, if you buy a case of pot noodle, like 12 units, you'll get a better price than if you just buy them individually. So that isn't a deal that potentially would appeal to our high street customers in the same way. They're purchasing smaller items on a more regular basis. And what we see is that those customers will shop more regularly. The customers here are looking at kind of coming and doing a one-off destination shop, filling their cupboards, big value packs. I mean, there's also some other stuff that you probably wouldn't expect to see in an Iceland in terms of hot tubs and pressure washers and those kind of products, which I think you'll see downstairs. But in general, we are still focused on our great value frozen food offering. And that's kind of the heart of the business and always has been and always will be, is my belief.
Kent Online News.
Head to Kent Online to see the moment a dog that had been missing for 4 months was reunited with its owner in Canterbury. Cocker Spaniel Penny disappeared while out for a walk in December, but was spotted on a country lane 4 miles away last Thursday. She'd lost weight and had fleas, but is said to be happy to be home. Here's what the emotional reunion sounded like.
Calm down, Penny. Good girl.
Oh, my baby, good girl. You stink.
Penny.
Phoned up that
sweet manicure. Where have you been?
I phoned, and I mean, if you looked at my phone, I think I phoned him about 15.
If you live near Blean Woods, you're being urged to get involved in the rewilding project. The land near Canterbury is now famously home to bison, and there are plans to convert even more parts of the local habitat. Kent Wildlife Trust wants to set up 2 community groups, including one of teenagers, to help share ideas. Alison Steadman's backing a campaign led by the Kent Wildlife Trust to ban the sale of peat. The Gavin and Stacey star is among supporters urging the government to take action ahead of the next election. A bill is due to be debated in Commons later. Campaigners say habitats will continue to be destroyed while peat-containing products remain legal. The boss of a Medway sports club says they're bringing in paddle tennis in a bid to attract more members. There's been a drop in the number of people using the current facilities near Upna. £400,000 is being spent on the courts for the new style of game, which is a mix of tennis and squash. And plans have been unveiled to give a much-loved pub near Tunbridge Wells a new lease of life. The Toad Rock Retreat in Rustall is set to reopen after shutting at the beginning of March. There'll be a couple of familiar faces behind the bar. Shelley and Nick Page ran the pub from 2015 to 2021 and have come out of retirement and are looking forward to welcoming their first customers. Shelley has been speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
A little bit of trepidation, but once I came and saw the work to be done and the sorting to be done, got my gloves on. Nick's got his working cleaning gear on, and with massive help from somebody who I'd love you to mention, Barney, a local.
Yeah.
Barney's already been in and helped. We've sanded the bar, all the tables have been re-sanded. So everything's been, you know, everything's underway for all the tables to be finished properly. And they're going to be reupholstered soon and scrubbed within an inch of its life. And kitchen's ready to do food again. And we will be opening and being a pub again and doing what we do best, serving good food, good drinks, hospitality, and lots of laughs and, well, lots of families from the community, hopefully.
It seems like you've had such a great reaction from the community.
A massive reaction, and there is something that I was unaware of. The Friends of Toad Rock Retreat, and one of the Friends of Toad Rock Retreat and a good friend of mine, Yannicka Ishbel, she told people, she talked to me first, and I said, yeah, it's okay to tell people we're coming back again. And she said, I'm going to post something on the Toad Rock Retreat, Friends of Toad Rock Retreat. And I said, okay, you know, and the response has been amazing. And I said, and there's lots of people that have offered the help, and, you know, I have jobs for them.
They're hoping to be back up and running by the end of the month.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket Now and Kent have salvaged a draw on the final day of their county championship clash with Essex. Rain delayed the match at Chelmsford, but Joe Denley made 39 for Kent in their second innings and shared a valuable 51-run stand with nephew Jaden. The Kent Online podcast's Matt Panting spoke to head coach Matt Walker after the match.
Over the course of this game, you know, we haven't been at our best with our skill levels, but I think what's been really pleasing, especially over the last two games, you know, is the fight. And desire, and it's come in a couple of areas this week with Deebs and Compo in their first innings. That partnership, and they dug really deep and played, you know, got through a really sticky patch early on, and what they showed, some real guts and bravery to put on that really big total. And then obviously, you know, the back end, it was not a great situation at tee. 32 overs to survive and 5 wickets in the hutch. It was going to take something pretty special from the lower order to get us out of a bit of a hole. But I think, you know, we've asked the lower order to contribute this season. It's a big challenge where we haven't necessarily been at our best with runs from the lower order over the last couple of seasons. But I thought, today, you know, showed some real guts and character and skill from Nathan and Jaden there. And, you know, we may not be quite our best with our skills at the moment, but we're showing some real guts and fight. And that was a great finish.
And Jaden Denley, of course, picked for his debut, has rewarded you, I suppose, paid you back in that respect. I mean, what an innings from an 18-year-old debutant.
Yeah, I think someone said it in the dressing room just now. You know, that would have been a fantastic innings in your 100th game, let alone your first. I kept hearing a lot about Jaden from a number of people who have seen him and worked with him. That one of his great attributes is his temperament. Not much rattles him. He's pretty unfazed by most things. He's very laid back. Incredible calmness. I suppose dealing with one of the best attacks in the country. In a way that, you know, seemed like he'd been around for a long time.
Kent's next match in the county championship is against Sussex. Play gets underway in Canterbury this Friday at 11. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.